The Vermont legislative session is still several months away, but lawmakers and state and local education officials are already grappling with an expected gap in Vermont's education fund in the next fiscal year. The Valley News and VT Digger have reported that the gap could be up to $80 million. That could increase property taxes and strain resources for some school districts. For more, I'm joined by Vermont's Education Secretary Rebecca Holcomb. Secretary Holcomb, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So you've raised some concerns about this fiscal situation. Why are we seeing this funding gap, and what do you see as the solution?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for saying we could have a gap. And one of the reasons that we wanted to make sure that this was public now is that we know that school boards are going into beginning this process of putting their budgets together, and we want them to have that information up front. And to make a long story short, in fiscal year 2018, the education fund was balanced using one-time funds. We also had some other needs. We know that school budgets are going to grow annually due to increased salaries as, you know, they're negotiated with staff. We know that there are inflationary pressures every year. We know that healthcare costs increase about 2 to 3% every year. So the short-term immediate gap of about $47 million is due to the one-time funds that were that reserve, that allocated reserve in the Ed Fund, but also the statutory reserve. And then over and beyond that, we expect to have, just additional budget costs up to about $30, $40 million, just associated with the general increases that happen in expenditures over time due to those salaries, those healthcare costs, whatever it is, it just drives things up generally.
Speaking of structure and cost, if I'm not mistaken, Act 46 a few years back aimed to both consolidate small school districts and contain school costs. If we're already seeing this gap for the next fiscal year, which is still many months away, is that an indication that some of Act 46 maybe isn't working as intended?
Well, I really need you to understand that the gap is something that was created when we used one-time monies to maintain lower tax rates in the current budget cycle. So I don't think that's Act 46. What I would say is that we are seeing that some of the systems that have become bigger districts are beginning to manage their staffing ratios in ways that are different from what we've done previously. And what they're saying, I was just out talking to a system that's merged, and they've said that they're actually not worried about this gap because they know they can bring down their costs through managing retirements and attrition generally to stay under that threshold that they're trying to aim at. We're also seeing that some of the merged systems are using their small schools more creatively in ways that allow them to get to slightly larger class sizes and again, reduce those ratios. And that's really where some of the cost savings are going to come in over time.
Earlier, you mentioned salaries and health insurance costs as a driver of costs more generally for school. Health insurance costs for teachers and school workers always is a big question mark. This became a big issue in the last legislative session as Governor Scott pushed a plan to negotiate teacher health insurance statewide. Do you think that proposal or something like it should be brought up again in the next session?
We have to look at everything. And 80% of school costs, they are tied up in staffing, whether you're in an independent school or in a public school. And so staffing has to be part of the conversation. What we see is that, the rates of growth in those categories are in line sort of with healthcare costs generally. But I think the biggest way to get a handle on that is going to be looking at the total level of staffing that we have in some of our systems. That said, I think we need to look at anything that, preserves obviously the collective bargaining rights, but really does look at how we can get the best value for every taxpayer dollar.
Well, on the health insurance issue, are you in favor of teacher health contracts being negotiated at the state level instead of by individual districts?
I think that's a complicated issue. I think that one of the reasons the governor put it forward was to force the conversation about how we can get the best value for dollars about taxpayers. I think I'm open to looking at all kinds of options, and I trust the legislature and the governor to work together to come up with a good solution for all Vermonters.
Vermont has a long history now of controversy over school funding issues and fairness. Broadly speaking, do you feel like the current funding structure is working?
I do think that one of the challenges of our funding formula is because it's complex, people don't always understand how they raise their dollars or what the connection is between the decision they make when they vote on their budgets and the kind of education they receive and the tax rate that they see when they get their bill in the mail. And so I think there are opportunities out there to look at how we could maybe simplify the system in a way that made it more transparent. And I think there are also opportunities to just evaluate whether we're really understanding wealth correctly when we think about how we tax people to raise money for schools. So I assume, and I certainly know that there are several legislators who've been considering different ideas, and I'm fairly confident we'll be talking about the funding formula this coming session.
Well, Education Secretary Rebecca Holcomb, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.